Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Dear God. Will a man rob God? Well, you know, we all robbed God before we got saved. Boy, did we rob God. We're still reaping for some of it. No. But that's how God puts us in position to crush us. Amen? So that new wine can come. And when new wine comes, new power comes. When new power comes, restore relationship. Signs and wonders. We're the sign and wonder. It doesn't mean that a miracle is going to manifest wherever you go. You're the sign and wonder. You're the walking miracle. Amen? It says that they will look at you and see how, what the heck happened to you? Amen? How many times you've run into somebody you haven't seen in years, or you're even family members and whatever. They think you're weird because you don't follow along the way you used to. Sometimes they don't even like you anymore. Because you be different. But they don't get it. They don't understand about being really born again. They've heard about born again, but a lot of people will say they're born again or still heathens. Because they really have been born of the Spirit. But he says, will a man rob God? Yeah, you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Now, I want you to know this is not just about money. It's about time. You've robbed me from taking time with me. Amen? You've robbed me from not considering me in all the things that you've done. Or asking me to be a part of your life. You've robbed me from your life that I created you for. See, so there's more than just what we think about tithes and offerings and money. Amen? He said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food for in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will what? Not be room enough to receive it. In other words, it's going to overtake us. And I really believe that those who have been what we call tithing and offering of time, whether whatever. See, you can give money and still do the wrong things that won't count anything. Amen? So some people think they're just going to church, giving their tithes and offerings, and being good people, but still going out and partying, drinking, and fornicating, it justifies them. It doesn't count for anything. It nullifies everything. Amen? But in this, so just think about what's going on in the world right now. Look at how many of these wealthy people they don't tithe. Heck, if we can get one tithe from Amazon, we'd be blessed. You know, think about that. Praise God. We'd have all kinds of other things. But think of all of these individuals. They're afraid to give money. They start their own charity organizations so money can recycle back to them. They start foundations. But the things that they invest in have nothing to do with promoting Christ. Amen. Art. Art's not going to save you. Amen. Look at this beautiful art. It's from a foundation. That just blows me away. Yeah, we've dedicated hundreds of thousands of dollars for art. Really, art don't feed people. Art don't clothe people. Hallelujah. It just kind of baffles me that they call that a charity offering. I don't know. Yes, we fill the museum with all of these beautiful things of history. I mean, history's cool, but it ain't going to feed nobody. Amen? It may tell you where you came from or what's going on, and it recycles so you can get a little education on that. But again, think about what's going on right now, because he said you are cursed, so you got to understand all of these corporations, all of these places, all these billionaires and trillionaires that have rejected their tithe to God Almighty or their offerings to God Almighty are cursed. That means something's about to happen. See, God only allows a curse to go so long before he takes care of it. Oh, Hallelujah. In verse 11. He says again, I want to verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough for to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He's going to rebuke the stealer that's going to steal your money, steal your home and possessions, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fall to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. We have entered this right now. We've entered this. It's called, it's a part of the regeneration process. We've entered this. In other words, this, you know, where he says, whatever you sow, you what? Reap. He who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. You sow to the spirit reaps life. These are happening right now. God is calling in everything to effect now. No, there's accountability. Okay, I've allowed this to go long enough. Now I'm collecting. This is what God is saying now. I'm collecting. So God is collecting right now. He's gathering. He's releasing the areas of judgment and so forth. So we are in a time of regeneration. It's a regeneration process. And again, he's still, the whirlwinds are still blowing. The exposure and the release of prosperity, the release of strategies, the release of direction, all of these are still going. In Matthew 19:23, please. Then Jesus said to his disciples, are you his disciple? Then he's speaking to you too. I surely say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now this is not a needle that you thread with, all right? It's actually an opening. Because when the places were invaded, there was places that they could go into, and a camel couldn't go in. But the people could get in, and it'd be a place of protection. Hallelujah. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who can then be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? And Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the what? In the what? Regeneration. We are in the regeneration right now. We are in a regeneration process. That in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you will follow me. You who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive what? A hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. This is called the regeneration process. It is a new birth of all things. This is going to be a global rebirth, and we've been talking about. So God is bringing a global rebirth of all things. It's a regeneration. You know, think about this. When a lizard loses its tail, it regenerates it. There's animals that regenerate themselves, don't they? There's a biological regeneration to them. Amen? I mean, there is a biological regeneration to ourselves also in these bodies. I mean, can you imagine getting a paper cut and bleeding to death? Just you know. But because your body is regenerating, God puts that into place. But there's a regeneration. There's a personal regeneration, but there's a global regeneration. And the personal global regeneration are now in a parallel state. Oh, hallelujah. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once idiots, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, his plan, we should become what? Heirs. Yes. According to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions by strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonish, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. So there's a personal regeneration process through his word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So we get washed with the word and we get renewed in the Holy Spirit daily. That's through the anointing. There's a renewing every time we come together and worship. There's a renewing every day. He has to be filled with the Spirit. So there's got to be a reconnecting all the time. Everything that we do, we're always inviting the Holy Spirit. We're keeping him active in our life. Does everybody get it? We're keeping him active in our life. And I believe this is where the drift starts. Because then people forget to keep him active in their life. And they begin to drift away and begin to rely on the only thing that they're activating is themselves instead of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happens? You lose peace, joy, righteousness. You become confused, frustrated, irritated, and you become an irritator. So we are in that regeneration process of crushing, renewing, refreshing. We're on the potter's wheel. Amen? Things are happening. But I'm telling you, things are about to explode where things are going to overtake us. God's presence is going to begin to overtake us. He's going to show up unexpectedly. Romans 12, verse 1. And I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your responsibility and reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? That renewing again of your thoughts. That you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you got to think about this. God looks at this as, okay, that's good. Yeah, but this is acceptable. Now, this is perfect. Does everybody get it? That's okay, that's good. But this is acceptable, but that's perfect. So we strive for perfection in that area. But it depends on your yielding. Depends on your obedience. Depends on your submission. Depends on your tongue. We don't need to go any further. Hallelujah. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we are many members in the body, but all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. There are multiple levels of anointing. We've talked about this before. But in the anointing, there's an anointing for salvation, for priesthood, for warrior. Then you have an anointing for certain ministries, like the Joseph ministry, there's an anointing. all kinds of anointing for certain things, healing ministry, for miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? All kinds. Not that anybody can't pray for someone to be healed, but there are specific anointing where God has anointed that man or woman so that they can see, hear, and deliver. You know, just like in the 12, when they were the shadows of the apostles, were healing people because they spent time with Jesus. Amen? But he says here in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, this is a different anointing for each one, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, liberally. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is what? Good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on the high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own eyes or opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, such as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Oh, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. So I don't want you to go out and look for everyone that's offended you and bless them. Hello. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen? So, again, this is all a part of the renewing. It is the guideline of regeneration process, what he just gave us here. It's the guideline of the regeneration process. Restoring, healing, reconciliation, so forth. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be what? Be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will what? Cover a multitude of sins. But I want you to see this again. But the end of all things is what? It's at hand. Why? Because of the regeneration process. Meaning that things got to come to an end for that birth to continue. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has a gift, receive the gift, minister to it, one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is going to try you, test you, squeeze you, train you, change you, as though some strange thing happened to you. It's part of the regeneration. But rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Listen, don't look at somebody else. Whatever they're going through, however God is blessing them, however the enemy is, whatever, do you understand? Don't be moved out of position by others. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Avoid offense. Avoid it all. Avoid jealousy. Avoid envy. Avoid it. It's the quickest thing that will remove you out of position. And you'll get put right on the potter's wheel. crush, time to rebuild that again. How many times do you want to go through that regeneration process? Verse 14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Hello. Keep your eyes on yourself and the Lord. Don't worry about nobody else. It ain't your beeswax. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, because see, that ain't suffering in a Christian. People would think that they're suffering. Oh! And it's self-suffering, self-condemning suffering. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. You know, don't cry to the Lord, oh, my neighbor got a new car, but I didn't. He got a nice new white truck, but you know, I didn't. What happened? Oh, it's a good day to die. Hallelujah. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Hallelujah. Be careful. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and a sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Oh, hallelujah. The end of all things is at hand. Rulers of the mystery of Babylon, the harlot, are going to lose control of humanity. This is the regeneration process. This is where we're at right now. Amen? They're losing control. And this is coming to an end in this regeneration process. See, the enemy is attempting to reset the old control. Amen? But God is awakening individuals. So they're awakening to this attempt of the enemy to reset old control. But people that are awake aren't going to bite the bait. Ooh, that was good. Everyone say that. People that are awake aren't going to bite the bait. Listen, this is going to be strange, but we are entering the best times in the worst times. Amen? We are entering the best times for us in the worst times of the world. Many of the fulfillments of prophecy, especially with Daniel and Revelations, has been activated. Revelation is a 7-year process. There'll be 3.5 years of it splitting it in half. And the book of Daniel speaks about the 7 years, but there'll be 3.5 years. He talks of 1,260 days. It's 3.5 years. Or what they call it, times, a time and times and half time, which is 3.5 years. And Daniel 7, verse 21. He says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints, prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in the favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And I really believe this is where we are now. Thus he said, for the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings, who shall arise from the kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Has that been going on? Yeah. and shall intend to change times and laws. Has that been going on? Then the saint shall be given into his hand, for a time and times and half time. And I think that is coming. Okay, so I got to speak this correctly. Because there's a parallel of Daniel's time and then the book of Revelation time. And I really believe that we've been in this almost for 3.5 years now and don't know it. Look at what's been going on since 2020. We've had COVID. We've had all this persecution. People have been taking the mark. Amen? Look at all that's going on. That's like a rehearsal of the book of Revelation, isn't it? So there's a parallel between the book of Revelation and Daniel. But what we're seeing right now are seals being broken, but they're about the harlot because we're not going after the beast yet. And I don't want to go too deep into this. Anyways, since this 3.5 years, which is 1,260 days, think about this. In 2020, coronavirus started. All right? That was the first seal. Mystery Babylon will be dismantled then. Because it's saying here, it's going to, for 3.5 years, it'll be against the saints. Well, our end of 3.5 years is about up. In fact, it ends in June of this year, 2023. Everybody okay? All right. Let's go a little further. It says, verse 26, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall give to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. That's coming. That's changing. Does everybody get it? Now, this will be for a period of time until God chooses to remove the church and to bring his wrath. Amen. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. So we see here that what's being dismantled because of the harlot is the mystery of Babylon, right? The harlot, which is actually shadow governments or demonic governments. They have different kingdoms, which are controlled by beasts, which are fallen angels. These shadow governments of Antichrist regimes will be dismantled. And it's supposed to come fully into effect and start its dismantle in June of this year. That's why we're seeing all kinds of stuff happening. That's why banks are failing. Again, you've heard me say this before. Why? Because how do you dismantle operations? You follow the money. I really personally, in my opinion, I believe that Revelation 12 is a sum of everything. I really do. Because it's so multifaceted. It's multidimensional. It's phenomenal. You can go in the book of Revelation for days in that one chapter 12 and see so many things that God is doing and begin to explain certain things. See, there's a difference in the woman. Because it says in one part, the woman flees. And then another part, it says the woman flies. Two different things. Anyways. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12. Let's go to verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, in Joel chapter 2, 28, it talks about, and God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Amen? And the men and women will prophesy, and young and old and will see dreams and so forth and whatever. And signs will appear where in the skies. So we know that this is also a part now because signs are appearing. Things are happening. I don't know if you've seen the lining up of the planets. It's been phenomenal. Hallelujah. And verse 2, and being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. And his tail drew a third of the stars or angels of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman what? Fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her what? 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And in this, this is where that protection has come from God, while all this has been going on. Does everybody get it? He fled into his protection for 3.5 years during persecution. Now, you got to understand that this is threefold, past, present, and future. For the last 3.5 years, the church has been persecuted tremendously. She has fled into the wilderness under the protection of God. We have been maintained. But those who are genuine were tested. Many have stepped out, but many have come in. This is a part of the regeneration. And then those will be rewarded. So we see here they fled into his protection for 3.5 years during the persecution. The COVID, the disease, the plagues and pestilence, which we've heard about. Wars and rumors of wars. Remember all that's the beginning of birth pangs? Actually, stay in Revelation for a second. Go to verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now we got to remember that the male child is now the bride. We are the child of God, you know, the body of Christ. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might what? Fly. So there's a difference, isn't it? One fled, one will fly. So this is 2 time sequences. Because to be flying, you got to be removed. Amen? I really believe this is a part of the rapture, the removal of the church. And then those who are left behind. Because this is a removal of the bride, even though the church may still be here. Hallelujah. So in this last 3.5 years, we have fled into the wilderness. Amen? And again, because of the regeneration, we are going to be living in the best times at the worst times. Because there'll be a parallel of increase, the parallel of chaos and so forth. But listen, when people fall into chaos and despair and destitute, what are they looking for? Help. This is where the greatest harvest is going to come. It's going to be brought over. This is where the anointing of the Joseph ministries and all the other ministries that God has predestined to be prepared. This is why the wealth of the wicked is going to come into the hands of the righteous. Nobody will lack in the body of Christ who's walking right with God. The money will be distributed. Everyone will have a purpose about serving the kingdom. Some way, somehow. Whether it's in a manufacturing facility, whatever it may be. It's all, I'm telling you, I can taste it. It's so close. Woohoo! Daniel 2, verse 31. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of a fine gold, and its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands. That means it was cut out with God's hands. Which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Now, there's multi-parallel connections to this. But one of them I want to share is the area where a stone, cut out a stone, it means mining. When stones are cut out, they're mining. And what comes out of mining? Gold, silver, metals. Amen? Gold, silver. So in the stone that's going to hit the feet. In other words, when you try to knock someone over, you can try and push it, but the best thing to do is destroy the feet. Knock the feet out, and it crumbles. Amen? He said, you watch while the stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron. In other words, money. Jesus said, gold is mine, the silver is mine. So the only way to bring down the Babylonian harlot is through taking their money. And clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together. Hello. And became like chaff from the summer of threshing floors. The wind carried them away. Look, took all their gold and money and silver away. That no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Hello. Distribution of the wealth of the wicked into the what? Righteous. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. The stone, precious metal, gold and silver. Remember the Lord said, this is mine. This is the dismantlement of Babylon, the Babylonian system. Again, this is a part of the regeneration. God is restoring his kingdom. In Daniel chapter 5, in verse 22. Now Daniel rebukes Belshazzar. He said, but you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. You have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lord, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the God of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this is writing on the wall, and this is the inscription that was written. And this is the interpretation of each word. Menai, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius, the Mede, received the kingdom being about 62 years of age. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, this was the sign. He said, listen. Now, on this specific day that this happened, it was Passover feast. On this specific day when this happened was the Passover feast. Now, we are getting ready to enter Passover. I believe it's around April 5th and then to the 13th or something like that. He said it's been weighed. They'll be dismantled. Now, you got to understand that the dragon is behind all evil entities, regardless of what. Amen? So we've got the feast of Passover coming, heck, in a couple weeks. Amen? We're getting closer and closer. So it's an anniversary. In other words, God recycles. In other words, he brings things up. Because why? He said, look at your kingdom's over. And that's what he's saying to the Babylonian system. It's over. That's why we're seeing all of these things happen right now. It's never happened like this. in history. We are the generation of the return of the Lord and the establishment of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I know sometimes it don't feel like it. Doesn't seem like it. It's like, gosh, God, where are you at? I know you're not on vacation. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13, verse 21. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Hallelujah. It's going to be released through many areas. In James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Not if, but when you fall into various trials for your training. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience means endurance. That means not anxious, not fearful. Amen. If anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Gives it liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Hello. He's double-minded, unstable in all ways. So this is our conclusion. You want to stay in position to receive what God's getting ready to do? Then you have to follow this right here. You can't be anxious. You can't get pushed out of position. You must be faithful. You must be able to endure. You must be ready in season and out of season. And get out of the place of offense and bitterness. And quit holding grudges. It's amazing how many people still hold grudges. Oh, I forgive, but I ain't. That's a grudge. Hello? Says the rich will fade away in his pursuits to more riches. But the righteous will seek the presence of God. Amen? See, the enemy's doing everything he can. I shared before that he's throwing every kind of fiery doubt out to try and get people out of position so that when God begins to release, they can't get it because the enemy comes and steals it. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, let your light has come, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. That will be the parallel. Darkness and deep darkness and God's glory on you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to bring brightness of your rising up. The world is going to get darker. We are going to become lighter. Why? Because light overtakes darkness. That's the kingdom of God. Light, not darkness. This is a part of the regeneration process. And you can't stop it. Not even the enemy can stop it. But he can mislead people into a false reality. Amen? What do you think happens when a person becomes anxious? You think they're still in the true reality? No. First Corinthians 15:56. This thing of death is what? Sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the preparation. We thank you for the regeneration that you're doing, not only globally, but personally. So we submit to your way, and we ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name. Prepare your hearts for communion if you have anything.